welcome to Shifter's podcast. I'm here with Andrew Arruda. He's the founder and CEO of Rust Intelligence. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hi there. Thanks for having me on here. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we're really excited too. So, Andrew, you're the founder of Rust Intelligence, which is a legal tool which enhances your abilities as a lawyer. Am I correct?
That's right. Yeah, we came out right around the time that a lot of the capabilities around neural networks and deep learning really started to click and entered into the law. And it's been a really fun ride ever since.
So how did you start working with Rust Intelligence? What's your background story?
Well, it's actually kind of a neat story, Lucas, because I myself was always really an entrepreneur. Kind of the kind of kid who was selling, you know, water and soda on a hot day and going and trying to figure out ways to have a yard sale and kind of figure that out. But I was a first generation immigrant, and my parents, who were very supportive, always said, "Andrew, you could be anything you want in the world, as long as it's a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer." So I became a lawyer, but like I said, I always had this entrepreneurial heart. And very serendipitously, I met who then became my co-founder and the CTO of Rust, Jimo Viagle, at an event at the University of Toronto. I had just finished law school, and he had transferred up from the University of Texas at Austin because of the work going on there around deep learning. And he told me what was happening around AI and how a lot of the things that folks in the past had wished were possible were becoming possible. And we chatted, and then one day, not too far after, he gave me a call and said, "Hey, what do you think about bringing AI to law?" I was a lawyer. He was the AI person. We combined forces, and that's kind of how it all started.
Cool. So, how is the legal industry ready? Is the legal industry ready to be disrupted, or is it very conservative?
Well, you know, a lot of the time it's not as intuitive that folks are like, "Oh, well, you know, I thought that was kind of an old fashioned industry," and it certainly is. But the way that I would say what law looks like, it's where fintech was about 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and health tech was about the same period. So a lot of the pressures that happen and what changed those industries are happening in law. Consumers are showing up to their law offices much more informed, and even large-scale companies are expecting their law firms to be a lot more efficient than they were. And so we actually came out at the right around the perfect time where you saw this pressure from clients to actually not pay for certain activities, specifically legal research. And therefore, we kind of said, "Hey, that would be our first product." So we taught Ross how to be a really great legal researcher. You ask it your questions of law, and it can read over 1 million pages and find the passages lawyers need to complete their job. So I would say it's in terms of that disruption piece, you know, every industry almost has to be open and ready for it. And I think right around the time we started 3.5 years ago, that was the beginning of law. And I think it's been a testament to this. Last month alone, Lucas, $200 million in investment went into legal technology companies. So it's really starting to pick up quite quickly.
Yeah. So Rust Intelligence, it's more of a tool designed for lawyers rather than a robot taking the lawyer's job. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think a lot of AI tools in general, a lot of people always have ideas of robots. And I wish I actually had a whole bunch of robots around. I'm actually going to be speaking in November in Montreal, Canada, with the founder of the Sophia robot. And I think he'll have Sophia there too. But as you said, Lucas, it's actually software. And what it does is it really streamlines legal processes. So it helps the lawyer. But I think, and most importantly, it allows for a much easier and less expensive, more efficient delivery point for clients. So our goal is to really drive that cost down so that everyone can have access to high quality legal services at an affordable rate.
So does that mean that there will be less lawyers in the future because it's more efficient?
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting point. So one thing that I always like to point to is the ATM. So before, you know, banking was very something that rich folks had access to. And then with the automated teller machine, what ended up happening was, as you know, you could go up to a machine, take out money, make deposits. And actually what it showed was that there was actually an increase of hiring in bank tellers because ATMs actually drove the cost down to establishing a bank branch. And so I think you'll see a similar thing. You know, I don't know what the statistics are worldwide, but in the United States, for example, only 20% of people who need access to a lawyer are getting access to a lawyer due to how much it costs. So you have a latent market, and I actually think it might lead to more jobs, although it won't look the same as it does right now.
Let's go into the bank example, because here in Norway, like 80% of the bank offices are gone.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that the ATM has had something to do with it, or didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it probably did. I think at the end of the day, what we're focusing on and what I think everyone needs to focus on is having access to legal services should be a fundamental right, and it should be affordable. In other words, the more money you have shouldn't equate to having more justice. And so I think that considering the fact that the majority of people still don't, you know, think of law as an affordable thing and having contracts read over, you know, signing a new lease, I think there's always going to be work for lawyers, but I don't know if all of them will, you know, have the same form of jobs that they do now.
So you think it will actually increase the market size?
I do think so. And I think the reason why I'm confident about that is just about the fact that, you know, if you talk to the average person, myself included, even when I was a lawyer, I always joke, when I was a lawyer, I couldn't afford myself. And so I think that's something that, you know, not just our tool, obviously, I think a lot of the new types of technology will emerge, which will bring access to folks so that they still have that legal advice. And it's delivered in an efficient manner. So I do think it actually can lead to an increase in jobs. I do think some jobs obviously will no longer be needed, but that's about retooling and re-educating.
So what type of lawyers should start re-educating themselves?
Well, you know, I get asked that a lot. It's going to be hard to know 100% because actually what I'm typically seeing, not just with Ross Intelligence, but with other tools emerging, is they're automating parts of a lawyer's job, not all of a lawyer's job. And so unlike what you see in, say, medicine, where folks specialize in, say, reading radiology graphs or whatnot, I might have actually butchered that. But we don't really do that. A lawyer who practices in a particular area does the research, they prepare the documents, et cetera. So what I see happening is them just, you know, seeing and retooling with the tools and educating themselves about the tools emerging. And I do think, you know, we'll see what it means from a job perspective. I always say I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just part of the folks, you know, who are trying to build a more efficient future.
So speaking of crystal balls, what do you think the future of the legal industry look like?
You know, I think what we'll see is it's not going to be as dramatic as a lot of people think, where you see, you know, lawyers marching down the street, having no jobs. I think what you'll see is similar, like I mentioned, to what you saw in health and what you saw in finance. An analogy I love to draw, Lucas, is when the engineers first had a widespread access to calculators, you know, what they used to use slide rulers. And it didn't mean that engineers went out of business. What ended up happening was it actually increased the level of engineering, and we've been able to make so much progress. So I actually see the future of law being quite bright. I think it's going to include a lot more creativity from lawyers. And I think it's going to include, like I've been harping on, because I think it's important, a lot more people being able to access it.
But lawyers, are they particularly creative?
You know, it's funny that they get a bad rep. And I'll tell you why. Because Lucas, if you think about it, you know, when you come in, they're not the creative folks who are going to maybe necessarily paint a painting, but I'd say they're very creative with words and arguments and you know, logic flows. And I do think that with these machines being able to find access to information that they otherwise could have missed, we're going to see creativity in the types of legal arguments they make. Does that make, you know what I mean? I'm not saying they're all going to become artists, but in some ways, I think that it might lead to a bit more artistry with words and arguments.
Yeah, so you're saying they're creative within their field of work.
And I think we all are. And I think even if you say even some of the most non-creative type activities in quotation marks, actually, I think that's a general theme of artificial intelligence in general will be, you know, in many ways, folks always think about AI replacing humans. In many ways, AI will make us more human because the things that AI can do are that repetitive grunt type work. In many ways, actually, it's the boring aspects of our jobs rather than what we actually love as humans and what has made us and evolve as humans, that creative, logical thinking, problem solving.
But honestly, don't you really think that we could build an AI that actually could replace a lawyer?
You know, it's funny. Look, I'm going to be completely candid with you. I don't think so. I think at that point, you're into the general artificial intelligence realm, and then we're talking about the singularity. I don't know if that's going to happen and when that's going to happen. But if that does happen, then I don't even, like, we wouldn't even think about what it means to be a lawyer, because what it means to be human would have switched so fundamentally. So I think that sometimes by talking simply about that type of line, we miss out on some of the incredible things that we could do today rather than focusing on the future, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. So, you still think that law firms and lawyers should change in a way, right?
100%. I think right now, the way that lawyers and law firms operate are very much the same way they did even hundreds of years ago. And now it's a profession that's moving from analog to digital. And I think that that means that there's tremendous opportunity for entrepreneurs. I think there's a tremendous opportunity for people to build tools that allow access in it. And I think from a technology standpoint, it's one of those really niche but really hard-hitting areas where a lot of folks are getting involved, and I'm really excited to be part of it and that the company is a leader in the space.
Do you see any other industries that has had the development the last few years that you think that the legal industry will have? You mentioned fintech and health tech, but I mean, like, in some sort of a lawyer is some sort of a consultant, right? So is there something you see there that will happen in the lawyer industry as well, or the legal industry as well?
Well, you know, one of the industries, and I'm not sure if this is hitting your question, but one of the industries that I think is interesting is agriculture.
Really?
So ag tech, yeah, because what's happening in ag tech is that with constraints on the environment and with constraints on a whole bunch of things, we're having to be creative, population increasing, and there's an issue that needs to be solved. But if you think about agriculture, yes, they've always been using a lot of technology, but a lot of it, you know, if you think about it from a worldwide perspective, farming is being done in a very rural, old school way in many countries. And so I think sometimes I kind of think about the analogy of that's an area that's going analog to digital too. I don't think there's a lot of similarities in law, but just thinking of other industries that are transitioning and have such a fundamental importance to humanity, I think agriculture is up there too, because I think obviously, you know, as the population increases, we're going to need access to clean water and food. And I like to think of the law as one of those fundamental things too. But I think agriculture is kind of exciting as well. As you can tell, Lucas, sometimes I'm attracted to not necessarily the most sexy industries on its cover, on its face. But I think there's a lot of really interesting things happening in a lot of industries that are like that.
So would you want your children to become lawyers?
I'm going to have to let them, I would let my children become whatever they'd like. I actually subscribe to the belief that, you know, from a young age, you have to see what your strengths are. And yeah, it's important that you identify your weaknesses, but I think we have to double down on our strengths. So if they're really good at what it looks like to be a modern day lawyer, power to them. I think I'd be happy for that.
So
I mean, it would be also awesome if they became a world famous athlete, so I could go to a whole bunch of different sports events. But we'll see what happens.
So, what is the tip you would give to young aspiring lawyers that are entering the industry today?
To be completely honest, I think that now is a really important time for you to identify the fact that you now can get a seat at the table with the management of law firms and these folks. This is an industry that before was very regimented, where, you know, you were associate, you're a partner, you're a managing partner. But now, because the industry is changing, because there's so much pressures from clients, you could become a specialist. Get out there. It's not just about technology. It's about knowing kind of process management and some of the same fundamentals that businesses have had for quite some time. And actually, if played right, this could be a really huge time for your career.
And if you're a 40-year-old lawyer who's been lawyering for 15 years, what is your tip?
I would say don't push away new technologies. I think the person who said it best was Douglas Adams, the writer of of the book
Galaxy.
The Galaxy, yeah. So what he said, which I loved, was he said that he came up with a set of rules, something like when you're young, from the time that you're born, everything that's available when you're born is normal. Anything invented between the time that you're 15 and 35 is new and exciting and you're going to get a career. And anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, look, like it's just like everything else. Every industry has gone through different changes. I think artificial intelligence kind of sparks this human fear about robots and singularity. But I think that that's a lot of to do with sci-fi rather than grounded in reality.
Yeah. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That was the book.
That's right. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. And you will come to Norway in October to attend the Future Lawyer Conference.
Lucas, I can't wait. The Future Lawyer Conference is going to be amazing. Coming out of what I've heard about it last year, I know that it's going to be a really fabulous event. And I really am just, I'm kind of vibrating to get out there. So I can't wait to meet with the community at large and can't wait to be there.
So why should the lawyer attend this conference?
Well, I think it's about if you're a lawyer, attend. If you're interested in technology, attend. I think this is one of those unique times in history where you're able to see what's happening, where things are going. And the lineup is amazing. The people who are attending are amazing. And I think that if you can go, you have to go is what I would say.
Yeah, cool. Okay, thank you very much, Andrew. And we'll see you in October in Oslo. I can't wait to see you.
I can't wait to be there. Have a fabulous rest of your day and take care.